Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I want to begin reading at verse number 3. Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse number 3. Amen. Here's what it says. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief officials gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you may be seated. You may be seated. I want to talk about, you know, I know this isn't the language that it's formal and all of that, but I want to talk about this morning. I ain't, but, and I'll get to it in a second. I ain't, but the book of Daniel is a very important book. Daniel is a picture with himself of what God can do in taking something bad and making something good out of it. The book of Daniel records historically some judgment, because Judah, people of God, had acted a fool. And the second verse says, the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. In other words, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, was used by God to take over and defeat Judah. And the second verse said, it was the Lord that delivered his people into the hand of a heathen. Swallow if you can. And so as a result of the act of God's doing, Judah and some of the children and people of Judah has to deal with the fallout. And Neb came up with a plan. Nebuchadnezzar decided that there are some smart young people that were in Jerusalem. And here's what we're going to do. We're not going to let their talent go to waste. He has an individual who's over his HR. His name is Ashpenaz. And he called Ashpenaz in and shares with Ashpenaz a strategic plan in order to engage some of the brightest individuals he could find into the king's service. In essence, what he's really saying is, I want you to go and pick some of the brightest people you can find, and we are going to make an investment in them. We're going to give them scholarship, including housing, and then when we get done training them, we're going to walk them right into a position where they can serve for us at a high level. Nebuchadnezzar said, here's what you ought to look for when you get ready to pick somebody who ultimately we can use at a high level. You didn't close your Bible, did you? Okay, take your finger back to verse number three. He says, here's what I want you to look for. Bring some of the Israelites, from the royal family and nobility. Look for some people who've been somewhere.
Come on now. Come on.
Next, he says, look for some young men, some young folk without any physical defect. Look for some folk that are handsome, cute. I need you to look for some people who show aptitude. In other words, it looks like they can learn something. Look for people who has a wide variety of experience, every kind of learning, well-informed. Look for somebody who's quick to understand, who we believe is qualified to serve in the king's palace. And then when you find that person, we're going to build on that. And that's the kind of people that Neb chose. Smart, cute, from nobility, royalty, people who've been somewhere, people who know a little something, something. And he chooses them to invest in them so that they could go to an even higher level of service. BJ, here's my dilemma. When I looked at that list, most of that stuff on the list, I ain't. So, Charlie, the question is, do we have a chance to get chosen? Because when you look at this list, I ain't from royalty. I'm from Hopkinsville. I don't know nothing about nobility. I ain't young no more. I got some physical defects. In most, outside of Trudy, ain't many people would ever call me handsome. And sometimes I think she does it because, well, I got a little aptitude for learning, but to tell the truth, I just figured out how to find the area of a circle this week. Don't push me. I can tell you. But when I needed to learn it 50 years ago, Well, 60 years ago, no, 50 years ago. See what I'm working with? It went right over my head. So what does a person do, Renee, if they ain't got everything that the king wants on his list? Betty, I got some good news. And the good news is this: he ain't the only king. He ain't the only king looking to bring folk in to take them to a high level. So the question then is, what is the King of Kings looking for? Because the truth is, y'all, some of this stuff, handsome, cute, all of that, that some of that stuff is shallow. Are we gonna tell the truth today? The truth is, some of us really get caught up in cute. But forget all about stuff like character. Cute's one thing, character's something else. Cute's one thing, kindness is something else. Cute's one thing, but the ability and willingness to be committed is something else. And you'll discover that character, commitment, and kindness, if you keep on living, will trump cuteness every day. But it takes a minute to learn that, because we live in a world that pushes an emphasis on shallow things. We live in a world that pushes us to believe that there's a certain level of what it really means to be attractive. And come on, we in church, let's tell the truth. And we black folk got it bad. Because we're the one race that spends way too much time and money trying to be what we ain't. I shouldn't have said that. I got somebody gonna turn me off right here. Stay with me. So what do you do? What is the king looking for so that we can engage with him and go to a higher level? Here's what I tell you. Here's what I believe. The King of Kings is still looking, because Daniel is a marvelous picture. It's a marvelous message of showing us the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the willingness of God to use anybody, anywhere, at any time. Let me begin with this. First thing I want to remind you, it's important for you to believe that you were created with purpose and potential. Write it down. You were created with purpose and potential. Because God created you with purpose, therefore, there's a reason he did it. You've got, not only do you have purpose, that's why you're here, but you have potential, which leads to the fact that somehow or another, even when we don't know it and can't figure it out, God has a plan. We can't always see it. We don't always understand it. Sometimes we're way down the road and we have to look back, because that's why, Adele, some people say, you know, hindsight is 20/20, because there's some stuff we can see better after we've been down the road and turned around. And then we're able to figure out, oh, God did that. Oh, and then he did that. Oh, and then he did that. And then he, oh, and then he did that. But it's hard to see it when you call to walk by faith. Because that means we got to trust God even when we don't always clearly know or understand his plan. I got another one for you. It's real simple. First, you need to believe that God has created you with purpose And therefore you have potential, which means God has a plan. Ronnie, and here's the other part. In God's plan, you're part of it. How do I know it? Because you're still here. You're still here. You're still here. You are a part of this plan, and you may not understand it. And see, here's what the struggle is. The struggle with so many people is that they're trying to figure out their plan rather than trust God's plan. Here's what I'm going to discover. If you get in the Bible, you'll discover that God will speak to you and reveal to you his plan for your life. But if you try to figure out a plan without God's word, you're going to end up frustrated and defeated. That's why so many of the things that you try to do, you end up running in the dead end. It's because it's not God's plan. Here's what I want to remind you. God builds roads and paths for his people. And when he builds roads and paths, when they come to a sea, and that's where God led them, you can trust God going to do one of two things. He's going to either divide it, or he's going to put a bridge over it, because that's part of his plan, and you're a part of the plan. How do I know it? Because you're still here. 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 You're created with purpose and potential. So God has a plan for your life, and you're a part of it. Hey, here's the second one. It's important for you to persist in preparation. You got to persist in preparation. Matter of fact, when you look at Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, it talked about their aptitude, their apt for learning. There was some stuff that they already knew. Watch this. They had had some real good home training. There's some basic stuff that you ought to get at home. And the basics ought to, if you get the basics right, then you have the potential for others to build on it. But the struggle we have today is there's some folk that don't even know the basics. I mean, even before I got to kindergarten, there were some basics that mama taught us. Somebody give you something, you say thank you. If it's anybody older than you, you say yes, ma'am. You say no, ma'am. You don't talk to people looking at their feet. Some basics. When grown folk talking, and if you didn't get it the first time, they'll give you the look that said this conversation ain't for you. There's some basics of just being polite, of knowing when to talk, how to talk, the tone when you talk. There's some basics. These fellas had some basics that they learned. I mean, even you know, even when you went out in public, and my mama didn't always have the benefit of having a babysitter, which was me, to watch over the kids before when she went to the grocery store. So before I was too young to watch the kids while she went to the grocery store, she took all of us to the store. You remember that? And then when she put the car, boy, I'm old. I bet they don't do this no more. But she put the car in park, and then she turned around and give the same speech every time. Look with your eyes. Don't you touch nothing. Don't you ask for nothing. Don't say nothing. And don't run this cart over my heel. And if you act a fool. Ain't gonna be no when we get home. Old school. I know. And there's some people looking at me right now. What is he talking about? BJ, tell her when you get back to the car, tell her. But watch this. Here's the point. They knew some stuff, but listen to what the king said. They've still got more to learn. Yes, you know a few things. Thank God we've learned some basics, but always remember that there is more to learn. We're going to teach them some additional stuff that they don't know. Here's my point. It is extremely important that every child of God always have an open mind as it relates to learning and to growing, because in spite of what you know, there's still more to learn. Watch this. Not only is there more to learn, but you'll discover that it's to your advantage to learn the lesson before you need it. It's important to learn it before you have to apply it. Because if you learn it in advance, sometimes it's hard to learn it and then trying to do it all at the same time. And what I love about this text, it shows that these fellas were persistent. They persisted in their preparation. See, the struggle sometimes is we want the benefit of a tilapia fillet on the plate. That's the way we want it. Filleted. Blackened. Somebody over here wanted with lemon pepper. Somebody over here wanted fried. Somebody back there wanted in a taco. But that's how you want it. And you want it brought to you on the plate as a finished product. But you don't understand that before it became a fillet, it had to grow to become 1.5 to 2 pounds. But before it could grow to become a 2-pound tilapia, in order for you to get a 7-ounce piece of fillet, it had to get through being a fingerling. And before it was a fingerling, it had to be a fry. And before it was a fry, it was an egg in a fish's mouth. And somebody had to get the egg out of the fish's mouth. And while the fish was living, somebody had to change the water, and somebody had to feed it every single day to make sure for almost a year to get it to the point where somebody else could take it, clean it, and then cook it and put it on your plate. Because we like preparation. We like the finished product. But y'all, before you can have the benefit of the finished product, there's some preparation that's got to go along with it. Yesterday I took my nephew to show him where when we started growing these fish, where it all began. Because we grew some fish, and I had another person growing them out, and now they're a couple of pounders. And so we're going up there to see and to harvest these fish. And so we had taken them out, put them in some ice to chill them, to shock them. And so we're now cleaning these fish, one with an electric fillet knife. I've got a regular knife, and he ain't seen this before. And I'm sitting there, and I stick that knife behind the gill and go down to the spine and turn the knife and go straight across. And he saw the blood, and he saw the squirming, and he said, I don't know about that, Uncle Larry. Went down to the tail, flipped it over, put the knife between the skin and the meat and slid it. And the fillet fell off, then cut the rib cage off, and then cut two other little lines to get the pin bones out, and laid it out there. He said, I don't know about that, Uncle Larry. I said, well, you may not know it now. But before all said and done, This is going to be a part of your experience along the way. You may not have to do it for a living, but it's good, but it's important that you know how to appreciate some stuff. Because there's some stuff that you got to learn, even though you may not be doing it as a lifestyle. But it's still good to understand it. Say amen if you can. Here's the next thing we see. These guys, you got to believe that you created with purpose and potential. Got to persist in your time of preparation. Oh, here's a good one. You want to go to another level? You got to remain positive even if you're on a difficult path. You got to stay positive even if you're on a difficult path. And let me help you. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but you need to know that the God we serve chooses our path. And the path he chooses for us is not always easy. Sometimes the path has hills. Sometimes the path is a rough journey. But you got to remain positive, because as a child of God, here's what you know. You know that even though my path may be difficult, God chose it. You got to tell the truth sometimes. You may not like it, but you have to admit, God, you chose it. That's why I read in verse number two. In verse number two, and the Lord delivered them over. So in other words, sometimes when you see yourself on a difficult path, ain't nothing wrong with just talking to God. Talk to God and tell him, God, I don't know what you up to. I don't know why you got me going down this road. God, I don't know what you got in store for me through this experience, but you've got to learn how to trust God and remain positive, because he's my Father. He knows what's best for me. He loves me. He cares for me. And in spite of me having to walk a difficult path, sometimes you can trust you will not walk it alone. Put an amen there if you can. See, they understood that this was the Lord's doing. And so now they got to deal with new peaks and new ways. Sometimes along the path, you're going to run into some new peaks. And they do things a new way. And you've got to be able to discern what you can do and what you can't do. You missed it. I know it's 8. Come on. We're going to get through this real quick. You're going to be surrounded sometimes with new peeps and new ways. And you've got to know within yourself what you can do and what you can't do. And watch this. There was some stuff that the new peeps wanted them to do. And when they looked at the order of things, they basically went, okay, no problem with that, no problem with that, no problem with that. And then it came down to a diet, and when they saw the diet, they realized that this was something that was outside of what they had been taught and learned, that was related to their relationship with the Lord, because they're living under the law now. But watch this. What they do is they don't just blatantly say, ain't gonna do it. No, that's not what they did. They didn't say, I ain't gonna do it. What they did was, in verse number 8, they went to the official and they asked the official, sir, would you mind if we passed on this and just had some veggies? Watch the text. They didn't just say, ain't gonna do it. No. They asked. Now watch this in verse number 9. Now God calls the official to show favor. Here's what you can trust. When you are dealing, trying to stay in the perfect will of God, you can trust that God's going to do everything he needs to do so that you can remain in his will. They weren't defiant. They complied, but they went to him and asked him. And so the reason was they said, hey, listen, our prayer life, our disciplines, we don't do it this way. Would it be okay if we tried something else? Listen to them. They're willing to compromise. They're willing to talk it through. The official says, but you don't understand. I'm being held responsible for you. And if come time that you don't achieve or if you don't look as well as other folk, then I'm in trouble. And watch what he says. Watch what Daniel says. I get it. I get it. I know I'm asking you to put your faith in us, to trust us, but I'm telling you, let's do it this way. You test us for 10 days. In other words, here's what Daniel's saying. This ain't going to take a year. This ain't going to take long. We're not trying to get out of work. We're going to do the work. We still want to excel, but this ain't going to take forever. Go ahead and put us to the test and see if we can't do and fulfill our responsibilities. Because it don't take long to see that you're serving, you're dealing with the real deal. You're serving a God who's able to bring you through because he already put you on the path. They tested him 10 days and found that they were four times above. They looked better and they did better work and produced because God showed favor. New peeps, new ways. But God always provides this provision along the path. God sometimes gives us a path that's difficult. But you've got to learn to trust and be able to discern the provisions that he provides along the way. See, we live in a world that spends billions of dollars a year convincing you that what you have ain't good enough. They spend billions of dollars communicating to you that what you have ain't good enough. They'll say things like, what's in your driveway? They'll show a picture of a scantily clad woman leaning next to a car. They say stuff like, you only go around once. Remember that old commercial, Bobby, they said, live for all the gusto. Everything's new and improved. You don't believe me? How many of y'all got laundry detergent that comes in a little pod? Any of y'all use that? Yeah. Okay. Tide, they now got it in a little pod. You just throw it in and it dissolves and does its thing. Back in the day, matter of fact, I even found a graphic on it. I didn't pull it up for y'all, but I'm sure it to you sometime. Back in the day, the first Tide Procter & Gamble came out with said it's good for washing and dishes. It's laundry and dishes. My grandmama used Tide. Wasn't no Dawn. Joy. Ajax. Tide. Tide for everything. You had Tide to wash your clothes. You had Tide to wash your body. And you put Tide in the sink and wash the dishes. Because we live in a day where everything's got to be new and improved. But the good God we serve, same yesterday, today, and forever.
Here it is. Let me give you the last one to get out of your way. How can God get chosen to go to a, to be used at a high level? Here it is. Here it is. Know that you were created with purpose and potential. Be persistent in preparation, always willing to learn some more. Know that sometimes you got to remain positive even though you're on a difficult path. And then here's the last one. Should have put it first, but here's the last one. Prioritize your faith. Make your faith your priority. See, gaining new knowledge does not change my faith. We don't use knowledge from the world to shape our faith. We use our faith to shape the knowledge. Knowledge is the ability. Knowledge is facts, figures, information. But the joy is we got to figure out how God wants us to use it. When you look at this narrative, when you look at this text, you've got individuals that were chosen because they were going to be used at a later time at a higher level, and they were in another country around new government, around new people, around new religions. And they were learning new stuff. But they didn't let the stuff they learned change or replace their faith. Matter of fact, it was the faith that kept them while they were learning the stuff. Because they believed somehow God was still in control. Matter of fact, I showed it to you. Let me show you again. In verse number 2, the text says, "And the Lord delivered Judah over into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar." In verse number 9, God showed favor. God caused the guards to show favor to the fellows. In verse number 17, it says, "And to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding," which means that you ain't got to worry about not being chosen because you ain't cute enough, your hair ain't long enough, your skin ain't light enough. You need to know that that's some shallow stuff. But what really matters, whatever it is God wants you to do, he's going to provide what you need so that you can do it. And if you'll just open your mind and your heart and keep trusting in him, even though your path may be difficult, God will put you where you need to be, give you what you need to have, and bless you with the knowledge and give you the ability to know what to do with it. Matter of fact, and I'm going to close it right here, because not only did God give them great knowledge and understanding, but every now and then, God will do something extra. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse number 17. He said he gave the four young men knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. Here it is. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Gave them all the ability to understand some things. Gave them all the ability to test at a high level. But then Daniel, he gave him a little extra. I tell you what, Renee, I want to thank God for the extra. Danielle, I got to tell you, I've been living this life coming up on 60 years, and when I look back over my life, I got to testify that the truth is, in some situations, God has given me a little extra. I can't explain it. I know I don't deserve it, but God will give you a little bit extra so that you can see some things that other folk can't see, believe some things that other folk don't believe in, trust and walk in a way that other folk can't see it. Thank God for the extra, and the extra is tied to your faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you gotta, and watch this. They are exercising their faith in chapter number 1. You do know there's some other stuff coming around the corner, don't you? down the road, there's some other stuff that happens all as a because of folk hating on them because of the favor of God and because of their knowledge and because of them operating at a high level. But as they walk, God's with them every step of the way. Did I say because of their faith, God walks with them every step of the way? So down the road in another chapter, there's a lion waiting on Daniel. But because he walked with God in chapter one, God will be with him in chapters to come. There's a furnace, hey, waiting for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down the road. But they had faith in chapter one, and God kept them in a hot situation. Won't he keep you in a hot situation? Won't he keep you in a hostile situation? I ain't cute. I ain't handsome. There's some stuff I don't understand, goes right over my head. I ain't, but God use us anyway. I may not be what other folk want me to be, but God can use you anyway. Have I got a witness? Defect, but God can use you. Struggling, but God can use you. Don't have a degree, but God can use you. Born in an obscure place, but God can still use you. Can he use you? Because he made you from the beginning with purpose and potential. He's just looking for somebody that will trust him and walk with him. The Bible said there was a man named Enoch. And all he's noted for, he just walked with God. I don't know who his mama and them was, but he just walked with God. I don't know what church he went to, but he just walked with God. I don't know if he was a deacon or a trustee, but I do know this. He walked with God. I don't know if he was a plumber or a carpenter, but I do know this. He walked with God. And he walked with God so long that one day he just walked with God, and the Bible says, and God took him. He just took him. He just took him. I'm telling you, if you'll decide to walk with God, everything you need, even on the difficult path, you don't have to worry about the kings of the world choosing you. You trust the King of Kings, because you can't be all the stuff that this shallow world wants you to be, but you can be all God wants you to be, because he designed you and he made you with purpose and potential. I want you to trust him and be positive even when your path is difficult. Make your faith the priority, because what he's looking for is faith, people who will believe in him and trust in him. And if you'll do that, God will bless you. God will use you. He'll use you at a level that you never dreamed possible. Somebody looking at me right now, what a beautiful picture as this points to the Jesus Christ.